The believers who gather at Sovereign Grace Chapel invite you to listen to a gospel message by one of their pastors, Joe Galusik and Walter Pendleton. This week's message is by Walter Pendleton. Visit us on the website at www.sgchapel.com. Again, that is www.sgchapel.com. Men preach what they think is best. There is nothing to preach better than or other than Jesus Christ the Lord. Now this week's message.
I'm going to read one verse from the 62nd Psalm. That's Psalm 62 and verse 7. This is a Psalm of David, and he writes these words in Psalm 62 verse 7. In God is my salvation and my glory, the rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. You see that? What glorious words. In God is my salvation and my glory, the rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. The psalmist David is very clear. God's salvation and God's glory go hand in hand. Where God is not glorified, there is no salvation. Where there is salvation, God himself is receiving all the glory. You see, when men attempt to unite human glory with God's glory, there is no salvation. To mix human glory and divine glory is the height of hatred toward God. Where there is salvation, there's not just God's glory only, but where there is salvation, there is a refusal of the saved to have any mixture of any glory. This is the height and the depth and the breadth of faith and love toward God. It is the honoring of God alone. It is the giving God all the glory because he's due all the glory. So again, this is the height of and the depth and the breadth of faith and love toward God. As a matter of fact, Scripture never acknowledges any mixture of glory, that is, God's glory and man's essential glory, because the glory of man is non-existent. It's not there. The glory of man comes from God as a gift of free, sovereign grace. So Scripture never acknowledges any mixture of glory. Scripture actually calls it changing God's glory. To make God's glory to be something other than it is. And Scripture calls it changing, or literally exchanging, the truth of God for a lie. Now, let me read you a passage and listen to what the Apostle Paul says in Romans chapter 1. Listen to these words starting in verse 18. Romans 1 and verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Do you hear that? Who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. And then here we read what I was talking about. And changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like unto corruptible man, and to birds, and to four-footed beasts, and to creeping things. Wherefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. And here's the second one I mentioned. Who changed, that is to exchange, literally meaning, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. You see, the immoral perversion that is so rampant and so manifested in the human race today is not the cause of man's changing and exchanging. No, that's not it. Men today will preach and teach that if we could just curb curb the immorality of this world, that more men and women would come to see the gospel. But that's just not so. That's not what Paul says here. The immoral perversion so rampant and manifested in the human race today is not the cause of man's changing and exchanging. It is man's changing of God's glory and of man's exchanging of the truth for a lie, because of which this God gives them over to be ruled by their immoral perversion. Now let's go on and read. Look at what it says. For this cause, verse 26. Do you see it? For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections. Now, let it be clearly stated. Man's main problem is not his immoral corruption. Man's main problem is the changing of the glory of the uncorruptible God and making it like unto man and birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. And it's man's changing the truth of God into a lie, exchanging a lie rather than the truth of God. For this cause, Paul says, God gave them up unto vile affections. Do you see it? For this cause, God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. Likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves the recompense of their error, which was meet. Even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. So do you see what I say? Do you see what I'm saying is true right here from the Word of God? The immoral perversion, so rampant and so manifested in the human race today, is not the cause of man's changing and exchanging. It is man's changing and exchanging that is the cause of God's giving them over to all of this immoral perversion and persuasion. This giving over by God extends to all rebellion and not just sexual perversion. You hear men today speaking as though somehow even homosexuality is somehow some unpardonable sin, but it's not. It's not. And all of this sexual perversion, and not just homosexuality, but all of the sexual perversion of the society in which we live, this is not man's feature problem. This is a result of man's feature problem. And man's feature problem is he changes the glory of God and makes it like unto man or beasts. It takes the truth of God and changes it or exchanges it into a lie. And thus, then God gives men and women over to these things. But it's not just the sexual perversion, because we must go on. Listen to what verse 29 says. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whispers, do you see it? God's linking all of this together. Backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents. And someone says, please stop, just stop. No, Paul doesn't stop yet. He says, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. So again, I stress to everyone under the sound of my voice this morning, this giving over by God extends to all rebellion, not just sexual perversion. Defy God's revelation of His glory. You defy God's revelation of His truth. You defy the revelation of God's Son and God's gospel. You do not have God over a barrel. God Almighty may well one day mock you. I want you to listen to some staggering and profound words. Listen to what Solomon wrote hundreds of years ago. And listen to what Solomon wrote in Proverbs chapter 1. And listen to verse 22. Listen to what it says. This is what God says through Solomon. How long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you, and I will make known my words unto you. Because I have called, and ye refused. I have stretched out my hand, and no man regarded. But ye have set at naught all my counsel, and would none of my reproof. Now I know there are those who like to take this and to make God as though he's begging some men, but God here is commanding men. But listen to what God says. He says, I called. He said, I stretched out my hand. You said it not all my counsel. You didn't regard me. You would none of my reproof. And listen to what he says. Now listen, these are staggering words. I also, this is God speaking now, I also will laugh at your calamities. Does that sound like he got God over a barrel? No. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall ye call upon me. Oh yeah, yeah, then shall ye call upon me, but I will not answer. They that seek me early, but they shall not find me. For that they hated knowledge, do you see it? And did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own ways and be filled with their own devices. Do you see God giving them over? Do you see God say, you've not got me over a barrel. He said, then they will be filled with their own devices, for the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil. Oh, the glory of the sovereign God, the God who is sovereign over both mercy and compassion, but also over wrath and hardening. Ah, but still, some boast in their adoration of the Ten Commandments. You know that? They actually boast in their adoration of the Ten Commandments. Well, I'm not like these other people. I'm not like those sexual perverts. I'm not like all those people who are disobedient to parents without understanding. I'm not a covenant breaker. I'm not without natural affection. I'm not implacable. I'm not unmerciful. I'm not that way. I adore the Ten Commandments. They proclaim their lack of immorality, and they proclaim their devotion to morality or to ethics or to some legal Sinai righteousness. They make their boast, their glory to be in the law of God. And yet listen to what Paul says even about people such as that in Romans chapter 2. Listen to what Paul says in verse 17. Behold, thou art called a Jew, and resteth in the law, and makest thy boast of God, and knowest his will, and approvest the things that are more excellent, being instructed out of the law. You know what's wrong. You know what's right. That's what he's saying. I know what's wrong. Men say, I know what's wrong. I know what's right. Now, I follow after the right. I don't follow after the wrong. And, Paul says in verse 19, he goes on, and art confident that thou thyself art a guide of the blind, a light of them which are in darkness, an instructor, is it? An instructor of the foolish, a teacher of babes, which hast the form of knowledge and of the truth in the law. Thou therefore, which teachest another, teachest thou not thyself? Thou that preachest a man should not steal, dost thou steal? Thou that sayest a man should not commit adultery, dost thou commit adultery? Thou that abhorrest idols, dost thou commit sacrilege? Thou that makest thy boast of the law, through breaking the law dishonorest thou God? For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles through you, as it is written, For circumcision verily profiteth, if thou keep the law. But if thou be a breaker of the law, thy circumcision is made uncircumcision. Therefore, if the uncircumcision keep the righteousness of the law, shall not his uncircumcision be counted for circumcision? And shall not uncircumcision, which is by nature, if it fulfill the law, judge thee, who by the letter and circumcision dost transgress the law? For he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew, which is one inwardly. And circumcision is that of the heart in the spirit, and not in the letter, whose praise, now listen, whose praise is not of men, but of God. So you see, we've come full circle now. And let me say to everyone under the sound of my voice, there is no mixing of human glory and God's glory. The psalmist is clear. God's salvation and God's glory go hand in hand. Where God is not glorified, there is no salvation. Where there is salvation, God himself is receiving all the glory. So, man's corruption by nature. What we are in Adam, what we are as born to our parents into this world, man's corruption is so full and it's so total that he cannot see nor even acknowledge the true glory of the law. Now, take some time and go back. Look at Paul's words in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and specifically verses 7 through 18. And you'll see there the glory of the law. There is a glory in the law, but the glory of the law is death. The law manifests to all of us how corrupt we are. The law manifests to all of us how depraved we are. The law manifests to all of us the total, absolute corruption of all that we are by nature in both will and worth and work. So, man, by nature, has no glory that he can add to God's glory. And God Almighty, in his sovereignty and his power and his holiness and his righteousness, does not mix his glory with human glory to bring up a hybrid glory and therefore accept men before him. Salvation is of the Lord. But there's even more than that. The Lord Jesus Christ is the very glory of God. Listen to what Paul says in his epistle to the Hebrews, the Jewish believers. He says these words in Hebrews chapter 1. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom he also made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory, that is the brightness of God the Father's glory, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name today. So we see that the Lord Jesus Christ is the glory of God. Now this being so, some say, well then, all that needs to be done then is just preach the gospel. Just preach the gospel. And this is an admirable thought. And preach the gospel we must. And the preaching of the gospel is paramount for the salvation of sinners. Paul says so in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. He said it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. And this is God's good pleasure. This is God's ordained way. This is God's ordained instrumentality, is the preaching of the gospel of Christ. And that's what he says, preaching Christ crucified. But the problem is deeper than that. It's not just preaching the gospel, because according to the scripture in Romans chapter 3, listen to what the apostle Paul says after he's summed up this thing of Romans 1, the Gentiles, and our corruption by nature, and Romans chapter 2, the Jews and their lack of a true understanding of the true purpose and meaning of the law. And then he sums it up this way in Romans chapter 3, of course, in verse 9. What then? Are we better than they? That is the Jew better than the Gentile. What then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise. For we have before proved both Jews and Gentiles that they are all under sin. As it is written, here it is, there is none righteous, no, not one. Now look, here's why just preaching the gospel itself is not enough. Preach the gospel we must. Do not misunderstand me. Preach the gospel we must, but there's a deeper problem than just preaching the gospel, than just the need of preaching the gospel. Look, there, verse 11, there is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. So you see that? There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. So just preaching the gospel will not cure the problem. You remember the account of our Lord's conversation with Nicodemus when Nicodemus, that ruler of the Jews, came to him by night? What did our Lord tell him? What did our Lord concentrate on? What was it that our Lord was bent on expressing to Nicodemus? Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Do you hear it? Except a man be born again, born from above, born of God, born of nothing. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Except a man be born of water and spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. So we see that something must happen to any individual before any individual will even hear the preaching of the gospel. But there's more passages. Listen to another one. If you happen to be reading along, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and listen to these words. It's more than just what I've just said. Listen to this. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But now, I want you to listen to these words. Hear, not my words, but hear the inspired words of Scripture. Listen, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. Do you see that? What an amazing statement, isn't it? But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. In whom? The God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. So we see there's a dilemma. Yes, the gospel needs to be preached. Yea, the gospel must be preached. And it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. But we see here that lost men and women, which is all of us by nature, are incapable of seeing it. They're incapable of comprehending it. They're incapable of understanding it. They're incapable of seeking after it. And Paul goes on, for we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. But I tell you, now Paul gives us the answer to this dilemma. He gives us the answer to this problem. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, way back yonder when God created this world, that's what God did. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts. Do you see it? Here's an act of the sovereign God personally, individually himself. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And Paul goes on and says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Oh, don't you see? We are so corrupt. We are so depraved. The psalmist said, the Lord is my glory. The Lord is my strength. He's everything. My glory is him. I don't have any personal glory, no matter what I am, no matter what my state is, whether immorality or whether self-righteousness. I have nothing to offer to God, and I have no ability toward God except God in free, sovereign mercy and grace be compassionate toward me, and God Almighty himself shine into my heart. So we see that gospel preaching alone is not enough. The gospel must be preached, but one, it must be the gospel. Remember, Paul warns in Galatians 1, verses 6 through 10, of those who pervert the gospel of Christ. And he said, they preach any other gospel, you let them be accursed. That's how dire it is. That's how serious this thing is. So the gospel must be preached. Gospel preaching must be the preaching of the truth of the personal work of Jesus Christ. And gospel preaching must be attended by the work of the sovereign God, according to the Apostle Paul in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verses 4 through 5. He said, brethren, we know your election of God. We know God Almighty chose you before the world began. And how do we know that? Because our gospel came not to you in word only. Do you see it? Our gospel came not to you in word only, but in power and in much assurance and in the Holy Ghost. And the gospel came along with a work of God Almighty preceding it and accompanying it, so that God Almighty works a work of grace in the soul of an individual. So we see that this is the salvation of God with eternal glory. And this is why even the psalmist, back yonder under the law, this is why he wrote these words, in God is my salvation. You see it? In God is my salvation and my glory. That's where it's at. In God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength in God. He's my rock and my refuge is in God. Oh, may it be that even this day, God Almighty will bow you before His Son, Jesus Christ, and you will glory in Him. You will believe Him. You will rest in Him. You will cast your all upon Him, and you will find glory there.
This broadcast is supported by the believers who gather at Sovereign Grace Chapel. We meet every Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. Sovereign Grace Chapel is located in Crow, West Virginia, just off Country Club Drive on Annabelle Lane, just north of Little Beaver State Park. Our web address is www.sgchapel.com. Again, that's www.sgchapel.com. Our mailing address is Sovereign Grace Chapel, P.O. Box 15 in Kellysville, West Virginia 24732. Again, that's Sovereign Grace Chapel, P.O. Box 15, Kellysville, West Virginia 24732. Come hear Christ preached.